Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm already on Amy's bad side today. I forgot to... She addressed all of our wedding invitations last night.
Oh, I got your wedding invitation yesterday.
No, you got our Christmas card yesterday.
Whoops. All right, I didn't open it. Darn it. Thought I got your wedding invitation. I also got an e-card for Thanksgiving that I just opened
you
yesterday
did?
For my stepfather too. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's how I operate. I got a card in the mail from you and Amy, and I figured that it was your wedding invitation.
No, that was our Christmas card.
Tell Amy I haven't gotten my wedding invitation yet, and
well,
I'm getting
good,
nervous
because I was supposed to grab them on the way out and mail them, and they were sitting on the counter for her as she was leaving the house today.
I think there's one thing that sometimes women don't understand is that these seemingly simple tasks for us as men. Look, let me get extremely sexist here. Yeah. Our minds are more engaged with, hey, we got to go out and kill a saber-toothed tiger this morning. Yeah. That's what I'm focused
on. Hunters.
These little piddly tasks, we can't be bothered with these kinds of things. So sometimes they might say, like, hey, how come you didn't wear, you've had 2 weeks to mail those wedding invitations. Are you going to claim you haven't had time to do it? And yes, I would say I haven't been able to squander my mental energy for something like that.
I mean, granted, all she's asking me to do is grab a bag full of envelopes and dump them into a mailbox.
Yeah, this is the problem, though, is that's going to take your energy away from the hunt.
Yeah.
From the hunt.
The hunt
yes.
of hot takes yeah. on trick plays. Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Seth.
I just gave you an assignment. You have to go watch LA Confidential this afternoon so you
break.
Understand my
Thanks
reference from 6:03 a.m.
It's
you
true.
Can't be bothered with mailing invitations.
I've got enough on my plate with mailing these invitations. Well,
it's the hunt. A younger, leaner Russell Crowe. That's what you got to be doing.
This is a good pep talk that you're giving me right here. Yeah, no, she just texted me. She's like, is this you subconsciously saying you don't want to get married? With a smiley crying emoji afterward. She's not serious, but at any rate. The other thing is, anytime something is left for me, like literally there's a tangible item left for me to go do something with, it's harder for me in this job because I don't know how you operate, but I tend to operate at 4 or 4:30 in the morning with the lights still turned way down in the house. I don't like turning all the lights on.
Yeah.
I like operating like in my...
It's like you're trying to seduce yourself into the day.
A little bit. And by the time I'm leaving, I'm in love with myself.
Yeah. I look pretty damn good in this lighting.
That's right. But I don't like turning on a lot of lights. And so I was... this morning, I'm doing everything. You know, like when I'm in the bathroom getting ready, showering and getting ready and stuff, I just turn the closet light on to give me just enough light in the bathroom to where I'm not just hitting the face with light. It helps me ease into waking up for the day. In the main part of our house, everything is lit to our Christmas tree right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very dim in there. So, Amy, if you're listening, I didn't see the invitations because you know I like to operate under dim light.
Right. Yeah. So they'll be mailed out.
Yeah. Well, they will
today,
because she
like
mailed them.
11:38. Oh, she did it.
So finally,
I'll get my invitation.
Well, you just get through your Christmas card first. You eat what's on your plate, pal.
This has been a stressful 5 minutes where I realized I didn't have your wedding invitation yet.
It's okay.
Or I thought I had it in hand.
You're fine.
Okay.
You're fine.
I'm going to go home and yell at Brandy for not opening it.
By the way, we talked in the previous segment, more impressive win, the Kansas City win in week six on the road, or the Patriot win. You said Kansas City. I say New England, Seth, just because it's the hex that this team has had on the Texans, what the Patriots have sort of represented to the Bill O'Brien Texans, where other than his first year here, they've played every year. They've beaten the Texans up until Sunday night in every different variety of way that you could possibly think of to beat a team. They've blown them out. They've blown them out in the playoffs. They've blown them out with a rookie quarterback making their first start. They beat them in a close game.
Yeah.
They beat them in sort of a what looked like a close game, but not really. They beat them in Houston. They beat them in New England. Just because of what, and obviously the relationship with O'Brien and Belichick, the personal relationship between the two. I think the Kansas City team, especially in Kansas City, is probably a better team, but I think for what it represents, the monkey on the back that the Patriots were, I think it's, for me, it's the Patriots. But they're both great wins, and I think the thing they have in common is that I think both of those games were, I think the final score is misleading in both of those games. I think they beat both of those teams. If you were to watch the game and not pay attention to the scoreboard, you just watch play to play, you watch the two teams go against each other, and just ignore the scoreboard for a second, I think you come away going, man, the Texans are a much better team than this team
right,
that they're playing
right.
tonight.
And the one thing that's holding me back is I don't know how much of a factor the flu was. I just, you know who had the flu last week? The Seahawks. Seahawks had a horrible flu outbreak on their team. A bunch of guys that were playing last night were practicing in flu masks during the season. Surgical masks during practice. So obviously it didn't affect them to the point where they couldn't win on the road versus Minnesota on Monday night. But I don't know how much of a factor that was. Now, Kansas City was banged up too. Look, the Texans are banged up. Everybody's damn banged up. It's the NFL season.
Yeah.
But that holds me back a little bit. And the other is, and one of the listeners had texted in and said, Seth, you are what your record says you are. I'm going to tell you something about that. Look, Bill Parcells, brilliant football coach, obviously, one of the best who ever lived.
Sure.
That's a dumb theory. It's stupid, and it's just something that sounds good when you say it. Everybody knows in the NFL, especially, you aren't what your record says you are. I was on a team that was 14-2. We weren't the best team in the league that year. We had a ridiculously easy schedule. So the Patriots having only lost two games, that's great. That's awesome. They had a ridiculously easy schedule the first half of the season. The two good quarterbacks that they faced since Ben Roethlisberger in week one have kind of beat the pants off of them. Mm-hmm. You know, as good as that Patriots defense has been versus mediocre quarterbacks, they haven't been very good at all against Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. So I don't know exactly how good the Patriots are, how well-rounded they are. I know that they've got Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and last year that was enough, that defense also.
Yeah.
So I just, the Kansas City Chiefs scare me in more ways than the New England Patriots do.
Right now, the Kansas City Chiefs would have to come here to play, and if it were the postseason, yeah. And you would have to go to New England to play that game. I would be more scared of going to New England, obviously, than playing Kansas City here. And maybe that's a better argument, you know, just which one scares you, especially if you feel like Kansas City is the better football team, which one scares you more?
There's the rematch factor, though, too. And if it's who makes me more nervous in a rematch, it's Bill Belichick.
For sure.
Bill Belichick and his crusty old self and how angry he was after that loss.
Yeah.
And the fact that his subconscious is going to be working on ways to beat the Texans and everything he learned in the first matchup. Yeah, I'd be more nervous about that in the rematch.
All right, there was the play that provided the points that ended up being the winning margin in the game was a really cool trick play. Let's relive the magic courtesy of Mark Vandermeer.
Deshaun hands off to Johnson, now to Hop right side, who flips the ball to Watson, diving for the pylon, and he's got it! Razzle dazzle! Touchdown, Houston!
All right, so that was the play, the Watson handoff to Duke Johnson, quick handoff to Hopkins, and then it was looked like an option pitch. It wound up technically being a touchdown pass because it was a forward lateral. Hop was behind the line, so it was all good. Bill O'Brien, in speaking to the media yesterday, I thought this was interesting, went through sort of his philosophy on when and how to utilize gadget plays.
I think any gadget play, this is just my opinion, is all about timing. You know, it's all about timing. It's not necessarily always where the ball is. It's more about, like, okay, how is the rhythm of this drive going, and can we smoothly just call this play and get this play run? And I thought that the timing was right for that call, so that's really what it was about. I think gadget plays are about that. You know, if you feel like you're really trying to force a gadget play, which I've been at fault to do that before, then you probably should not call that play. But if you feel like you're in a pretty good flow with the offense, you know, moving the ball down the field or wherever the ball might be, you know, I think you can call it.
Thought that was a nice little low-key admission of a flaw that maybe O'Brien has kind of smoothed off or realized a little bit. The part there where he says, I've been guilty of forcing gadget plays before. I think people immediately think of the Wattcat.
Wattfork.
The Wattfork.
I like Wattfork better than Wattcat.
That's a good one, yeah. Yeah, we're in the Kansas City playoff game. The Texans were able to, there's a long Alfred Blue run that took the ball down into, I think, in goal-to-go territory or certainly into the red zone in that game. And once they got into goal-to-go situation, Bill O'Brien trotted out and injured J.J. Watt at tailback with Vince Wilfork at fullback, and disaster ensued. And Watt wound up leaving the game later on with a help off the field injury, you know, basically his core was torn from his pelvis.
And what you learned later on, too, was that Watt was already injured going into that game.
Yeah.
That was one of the other things. And when you watch that play with that in mind, as Watt's trying to kind of shuffle left and right and back and forth,
yes,
you just, everything about that was probably poorly conceived. everything felt wrong about that play.
Yeah.
Just for multiple reasons. And I think what O'Brien, it's interesting, because when he said sometimes it's a matter of knowing within the rhythm and whatnot when to do it, I wonder how much of that comes down to, hey, is that play Bill O'Brien's baby or is it somebody else's baby? Because sometimes when something's your own baby, you want to show that baby off to the world, right? Yes. You wanna send Facebook photos out every single day, even though people are sick of seeing your baby. Cute as it is, it's adorable, the little thing. I don't want to see it.
The little Wattcat.
I don't want to see it four times a day, right? So I think that's a, there. As he's talking about it, I was kind of thinking, like, that's kind of the argument for having both a coach and a GM, too, isn't it? That sometimes what the coach wants is sometimes the GM has to say, hey,
checks and balances.
Back up a little bit. Yeah. So far, right this moment, I feel pretty good about the GM committee.
I do, too.
You always have to be a little bit nervous. All right. But you don't want the coach to have too much say if he doesn't also have the wisdom of knowing when to hold off and when to back off. So I think there's something about maybe the fact that that was Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins' baby, that Bill O'Brien there gets to figure out, all right, well, we're going to use this when it's appropriate. I'm excited to do it, and we'll do it now. It's also, this is the other thing. It's the appropriate time to use it when it worked out. That's the post hoc reasoning that always happens, because Bill Cowher was brilliant at using fake plays, trick plays, and every single damn time it worked, oh my, this is what makes the Steelers, this is what makes them so innovative and so fresh. Every time it didn't work out, I can't believe Bill Cowher called it in that moment.
Yeah.
What a moron. Yeah.
What did you think about the degree of difficulty of that particular play that they ran?
I frankly, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be honest and totally, I'm not going to let the outcome. I don't think that was a good time to call that play. You know why I know that? Because Deshaun Watson said that wasn't the right time to call that play. He said that he was supposed to check out of that in that situation.
That's right, he did say that.
Seth, you're speculating there, aren't you? Like, no, Deshaun said that that's not when they should have called that play.
There's a lot of, boy, that play, I mean, it was a fun play to watch, and obviously it worked, so it was a fun play to experience.
Yeah.
But you go back and rewatch that play, forget about the part where Hopkins pitches it to Watson.
Yeah.
Forget about the part that Hopkins is in the open field getting submarined by some linebacker. Hopkins did a somersault because he got hit low on that play. That was a little nerve-wracking. The precision with which the triple handoff exchange had to happen, mm-hmm. with Watson handing it to Duke Johnson, who, by the way, had DeAndre Carter in motion in front of him.
Right, a little bit of penetration there. And could that have thing, been devastating.
Yeah, because and just because it was like bang bang, the handoff from Duke to Hop, you know, like Watson, Duke, Hop, like boom, 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 all within like less than a second.
Right.
Although so the timing of it was impeccable. Mm-hmm. And so it worked. It was cool. It needs a cool name.
Oh.
You know, like the Philly Special, you know, like that was a play that people associate with the Super Bowl.
None of them said what the name of the play was, did they?
I don't know that it has a cool name.
I haven't heard in the audio. 713-572-4610. Text in a suggestion.
Text in some names. I'm submitting mine right now. The Triple Ds.
All right.
Duke, Deshaun, DeAndre.
I like that.
Yeah, and it's got a kind of a body, double entendre.
Yeah, the Triple D. Okay. I'm just thinking of the...
You take your time to think about it.
Yeah.
And see what you can come up with. But I'm sure the texters will come up. 713-572-4610. O'Brien actually credits Deshaun Watson, and he mentions A.J. McCarron, too, in the design of the play.
I mean, I said last night, like, I started this, I guess, but now Watson's taking credit for it. So we'll give him credit for him and McCarron, right? They said that they came up with it? Yeah. No, we all kidding aside, we collaborate all the time with these guys. I think that, you know, especially with in the quarterback room, you know, Deshaun, he has a really excellent football mind. So he sees things, and he's done things in the past, whether it was here, now that he has a lot of snaps here, or even at Clemson, that he'll say, hey, look, you know, with this motion or this look, we kind of did this. Would you ever think about doing that? And we map it out on the board, and we talk about it. So there's a lot, and then AJ's got a lot of experience in a lot of different offenses, whether it was Alabama, Cincinnati, Oakland, you know, in here, so he has a lot of – AJ's really good during a game, too. AJ does a good job during a game, and so there's a lot of collaboration with Timmy and Carl, and then when I'm in there.
That's O'Brien talking about the design of the play. We're getting the name – the text line's being flooded with names for this play.
He's got a creative listenership.
Yeah, we do. We got the H-Town Shuffle.
Okay.
The Texan Slide.
Mm.
The quadruple D's. I already put triple D's.
Where's the fourth D that we're missing?
I don't know. Okay. I'm going to ask a 786 guy to send it. The Hop Potato. That's not bad.
That's a good dad one.
The Patriot Penetration.
That's the one I like.
the Texans Two-Step.
Yeah.
The Boot Scoot and Boogie.
Okay. I'm not so sure I like that one.
The...
Who was the Boot Scoot and Boogie? That wasn't Billy Ray, was it?
That was Brooks and Dunn.
That was Brooks and Dunn. Yeah, all right. What was Billy Ray Cyrus's big
hit? That was Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, gosh. How about them?
You can tell my mom.
Dude. Imagine 30 years ago if somebody told you Billy Ray Cyrus was still going to be in your life. In the form of a
daughter.
Yeah, not just in this century, but like 2019.
Right.
He's still relevant
because
of his daughter. Yep. And his role in the movie. Yeah.
DeShondre Watkinson.
We can't use that one because at least three commentators have probably called one of those guys that name over that. I
feel like Kenny Albert calls each of them that at some point during all these games.
I did it last week. I was on TV early in the morning and my brain wasn't working yet. And I think I did the old Deshaun Watkins or something. Yeah.
Live TV. And you can't even edit that stuff out.
Yeah.
All right. Keep sending them in. 713-572-4610. We need a nickname for the Texans trick play. You can win a 4-pack of tickets to attend Sugarland Holiday Lights at Constellation Field. Pretty cool holiday thing this time of year.
The annexation of Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I saw that one.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
I'm afraid I just slurred somebody.
I figured I'd bounce that one off of you during the break. You just went ahead.
I'd like to issue my apology right now.
I don't know why.
Inadvertently and completely. I did not mean to slander or insult the people of Puerto Rico.
I did laugh when I saw it, but like, I better double check on this one.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.